Joining us here in the studio, we have Mitch Matuszewski, who is with Ripon Guardian Ambulance. I forget the exact title you have.
EMS Chief.
EMS Chief. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Well, we just wanted to get an update because it seems like every year the ambulance service is getting more and more calls for service. So how did 2025 work out for you, Mitch?
Yeah, that's right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, as always, Bob. Mm-hmm. But actually, in 2025, we did a handful less calls than we did in 2024. But overall, in general, I mean, our call volume every year is, or over the years, especially in the last 5 years, I would say we've had at least a 30% increase in 5 years, which is pretty significant when you think about it for a community our size. Mm-hmm. So last year, this is kind of an unofficial number yet because I'm still working on the final report, but 1,730 calls for service were responded to in 25 as compared to 1,757 in 2024. But overall, you know, in general, I see on, you know, on Facebook and talking with other chiefs that I know, calls for service in many communities have set records in 2025. So, and we're right on pace again here. Now we have kind of enough data in the first 20 or so days that we'll be, looks like we'll be right on pace with that again next year.
And you had speaking of neighboring EMS services, you had a lot of shifting going on with service areas, but how does your service area look? I mean, how many square miles do you cover, do you think?
You know, it's funny. I one of my employees just asked me that question yesterday, and and I seriously didn't know off the top of my head. I knew it was more about 150. It's 164 square miles is what mm-hmm. we cover, so it's a rather large territory. You know, we have, including the city of Ripon, we have 7 municipalities that we cover, mainly townships, but then we also have the village of Rosendale, which is, you know, kind of our second largest call volume after the city of Ripon, and then the village of Fairwater as well.
Wow. How are you doing as far as staffing is concerned? I believe that you had some full-time people, or at least one full-time person added?
Yeah, last year we added... I take that back. 2 years ago, we added our first, other than myself, our first full-time paramedic. Our second full-time paramedic just started this week, actually. Mm-hmm. So that brings us up to 3 full-time employees for the service, which adds predictability and stability into our schedule that's much needed. Now, that's not to say that we don't have a huge dedicated group of volunteers and paid on call, and I use the volunteer term loosely, but I think they still deserve that because, you know, the pay isn't astronomical or anything like that. But it just kind of adds that security blanket, I guess, if you will, to make sure that we are always having constant staff when those paid on call aren't available. But we do have a large group. We have about 30 on our roster right now, total. That includes the full-timers. But this last year, we had 6 of our EMT basics go through the advanced EMT course, and they're just finishing that up. Most of them will be testing within the next couple of weeks. So we have about half of those are EMT basics, half are AEMTs, and then about the rest are paramedics on our service. So we're doing very well at this point, but that can always change in this world rather quickly.
Well, for you and the others at work, is it a continuing education type of thing where you need so much training that you have to accomplish?
Yeah. So, for instance, paramedics, we have to finish at least a 40-hour refresher every 3 years. We have to have 40 hours of continuing education. Many of us, I would say, most of us have far more than that, but that's the state minimum. But overall, you know, what we're seeing is that kind of tied into that question is that what we're seeing is that as far as staffing in the industry goes, it's not really a continuing education problem where folks aren't keeping up on their education. What we're seeing is that we're having folks enter this from the data that the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health did some studies, we're seeing folks enter the EMS profession and they're dropping out in about 5 years, and we don't know why exactly yet. So, so you know, there's two kind of groups. There's the 1 to 5 years, and then you have, you know, your long term, like 20 years plus, and then there's that middle that kind of, you know, it's kind of mixed. But for some reason, we're seeing a lot of folks drop out after 5 years. And anyway, that just kind of ties into the continuing education, because why aren't these people recertifying? You know, are they not enjoying the job? Are they doing it as a stepping stone? And so, to be determined.
Is it a burnout type thing, or?
I hope not. And, you know, and I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, we're seeing it in all types of services. So really, in really, really busy systems, I could probably say yes, it could be, you know. But then again, there's also some burnout in the smaller systems as well, because maybe one person is going on 70% of the calls. So, you know, it's kind of, there needs to be more more data and more data analyzation to figure out where the problem is. And the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health is very active in that. And James Small, who's the chair of that department, is really taking on, you know, gathering data from the state to figure out where our problem lies exactly.
Okay. There were talks about a combined EMS fire service. Is there still something going on with that?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but at this point, you know, we're just focusing on our business as usual at the ambulance service. Like I said, building in that predictable staffing. We'll see, you know. Yeah. That would be some years off yet, I believe, but it's definitely an option. And, you know, I guess we'll just see how the next year goes and take it year by year.
Okay. I mentioned the extreme cold that we're about to get hit with. Do you see many calls related to that type of thing when you have temperatures that low?
Typically not. But, you know, obviously any call can become rather dangerous rather quickly in that kind of temperatures. Car accidents is one example where, you know, the patients might be exposed to extreme cold for not very long, you know, but so some extra precautions need to be taken for us. You know, we have blanket warmers in all of our ambulances. We just added saline warmers. It's just something that most services have. We haven't had one, but we just added those to our arsenal. So we're well prepared. It's just, you know, crews and you know, even a patient, you know, taking them from their house to the ambulance, if, you know, the driveway is not shoveled or something like that, could take a little extra time. So we got to make sure that patient's not exposed.
Yeah. How many ambulances do you guys have?
We have three. Three ambulances. They're all outfitted to be a frontline ambulance if needed. And then we have a response vehicle, which is a Ford F-150 that's has, you know, emergency medications, defibrillator, that kind of thing that we also use so that the paramedic can get on scene faster than the ambulance.
Do you get many calls for, like, transfers from, like, a assisted living facility or something like that?
From yes, we do. If I had to guess, that's probably 30% of our calls.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a more vulnerable population lives in those facilities. So, we see a lot of falls from those facilities and just a lot of general, you know, things that you would expect from an elderly population. But as far as transfers go back, we do return some of those people who aren't ambulatory and stuff from the hospital too. So sometimes one of those calls ends up, you know, being two calls for us because we do return them home as well.
Yeah. You mentioned car accidents. I'm just kind of curious, is it a little bit different when you're dealing with an electrical vehicle now or a hybrid?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's so many more things to consider. And you know, I'm knocking on wood here that we haven't had anything like that. But, you know, it's, yes, for us, but I would say even more so for the fire department, because those guys and gals are the ones who are stabilizing that vehicle for us, you know, cutting the battery on a typical vehicle. Now, you know, that's much more complex, but fire is the biggest thing. You know, some of these electric vehicles, if they're hybrids, aren't as bad, but a fully electric vehicle, I mean, those things have burned for hours and hours. And so, yeah, we're thankful, though. Our fire department trains on that. We rely heavily on them for their expertise in that. But we do, you know, everybody's kind of aware. There's just a heightened awareness around those types of vehicles for exposed wires and other things like that. So,
well, I guess some of the chemicals are toxic and that type of thing. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, just, you know, the lithium, the batteries, the gases that those put off, even if they're not burning, can cause serious lung damage and such. So, like I said, knock on wood, we have not seen anything major, but, you know, I pass more and more on the road every day. So, it's coming, whether we like it or not.
Right, right. Okay. Well, it, you know, it just adds another scenario to what you have to train for, I guess. So,
yeah, there's always, you know, one thing goes away, one danger goes away, and another one arises. So it's always something, you know. Vehicles are safer than ever, supposedly. But then, you know, you add this hazard on top of it. So, you know, maybe the safety restraints and all that, crash, crumple zones and stuff have saved countless lives. But now we have this added danger of a battery basically incinerating the thing, you know. Yeah. So,
wow. Well, that's why you have trained professionals doing the jobs that you're doing, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Well, Mitch, thank you for joining us this morning. We just want to get an update on how things were going with Ripping Guardian Ambulance. So,
appreciate it, Bob. Always a pleasure.
That is Mitch Matuszewski, who is the EMS chief for Ripping Guardian Ambulance. We do appreciate him joining us this morning.